Welcome to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Talk radio to inspire, inform, and stimulate. Bringing you enlightened discussions with authors, creatives, innovative business and health professionals, and ordinary people living extraordinary lives. Sharing their expertise and life stories. Making a difference, one word at a time. Now here's your host, Vicki St. Clair.
And welcome everyone, welcome, welcome. Well, if you're feeling overwhelmed, my first guest says that might be one of the 59 big fat lies that we tell ourselves. Amy Ayler's new book made it to number one in the self-help category on Amazon, and we'll find out why in just a moment. Following on from that, we'll talk with business consultant Peter Bregman, who's an online columnist for the Harvard Business Review, Fast Company, and Forbes magazines. He's also contributed to CNN and speaks worldwide on how people can live, work, and lead more powerfully. He also says that it takes just 18 minutes a day to focus your efforts. And if you think that's not possible, stay tuned and we'll find out more from Peter Bregman. But first, very pleased to welcome, and Amy, I hope I'm saying your name right, Amy Ayler's.
You got it. Okay. You're perfect, Vicki. Thank you. We don't have to be hard on ourselves about pronouncing names correctly, right? No big fat lies about name pronouncing.
Well, you are a wake-up coach, so a wake-up call coach. And I know you've been doing this for a long time. You've been doing this for more than a decade. You've been teaching workshops and teleseminars, and you have just written this great new book called Big Fat Lies, Women Tell Themselves. Ditch Your Inner Critic and Wake Up Your Inner Superstar. But I know men who tell themselves the same lies, so we're not excluding the guys here.
We are so not excluding the guys. In fact, my dad read my book and said to me, Amy, I got to tell you, us guys are doing almost every single one of the big fat lies. So it's true. And, you know, and I've worked with men and women alike for the past 11 years from all different walks of life. And I really have discovered that no matter how smart, no matter how rich, no matter how beautiful or handsome, on some level, we're all being way too hard on ourselves. And so, yes, this conversation today, guys, feel free to tune in and use the tools that we'll give you today.
Yeah, we're not excluding anyone here. I should also mention that you're a co-creator of the Inner Mean Girl Reform School. Tell us a little bit about that, Amy.
Oh, beautiful. Well, I co-founded Inner Mean Girl Reform School with my colleague, the amazing coach and author, Christine Arilo. And we created this a couple of years ago now to really help women transform their inner critics into their inner superheroines. And people can find out more about that at innermeangirl.com because, you know, Christine and I really discovered that, you know, there's a lot of talk going on about the mean girls lurking in the hallways in junior high schools. But we found that the meanest girls of all are the ones internally, those inner critics, those inner mean girls that beat us up and beat us down. And they're the ones that are robbing us of all the success and happiness that we really deserve.
Mm-hmm. So tell us a little bit, Amy, about what got you involved in this work in the first place. Why were you interested in becoming a coach? You know, a few years back, there weren't so many coaches. Now everybody,
I know, right?
You know, there are so many different kinds of coaches out there. But why did you get interested in this?
Well, back in 1999, I had just gotten out of a five-year relationship where I'd been living with the guy. I moved out, and I was feeling pretty blue. I was feeling really frustrated in my career and feeling like my life was not very fulfilling. And I lived in Los Angeles at the time, and I kept running into this woman who was a life coach. And back in 1999, nobody knew what the term life coach meant.
Right.
And so I said to her, I'm like, okay, this is the third time I've run into you in Los Angeles, which is a city where you do not run into people. It's very sprawling, this big sprawling city. And I said, clearly I need to work with you. And so I got coached, and it completely changed my life. I could see all of the values, and I don't mean morals, but the values, the things that I really valued that bring me fulfillment and bring me a sense of meaning in my life. And I could see how I wasn't honoring any of those values. And so ultimately, it led me into the path of becoming a coach myself. And I went to the Coaches Training Institute and got my certification through them back in 2000. And when I walked into the first certification weekend that I was on, And I heard and experienced coaching from a coach's perspective. I knew it felt like one of those moments when the angels were singing and I said, this is it, this is my life's calling. And so since that day, I've never looked back. And now here I am 11 years later with a best-selling book. So I'm thrilled with where my intuition and inner guidance has taken me.
Well, I have to say you have a great personality for this. I woke up, you know, I was at my desk this morning rather at 6 o'clock. I say wake up. I was awake, but I was sitting there and I was really tired. The last 2 weeks have just been crazy hectic. And I listened to a couple of your videos and I perked right on up there.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
So let's look at the most important relationship we have, we know, is with ourselves.
Yes.
How have you personally been challenged in this area?
Boy, well, you know, I always like to remind people that the only person we can count on being there for us from our very first breath to our very last breath is ourselves. We're the only ones that we know are going to be here witnessing and participating in our life. Yet so often we don't take time out, even on a daily basis, to really honor ourselves, to tune into ourselves, and to really figure out what's going on with ourselves, let alone keep the promises that we make to ourselves. And so I know for me, when, you know, a real turning point for me in finding out a way to really tune into my inner wisdom, which is what I term that voice inside of us that really knows the best for us, that knows where we really do need to be going in our life, was when I became a mom. My daughter, Annabella, who's now 4 years old.
And adorable.
Oh, thank you.
I saw her in the video.
Yeah, she's been known to make some cameos in my videos since she was a little baby. But, you know, when I became a mom, the game got a lot more, like the stakes were heightened, is how I'll put it. First of all, you know, I named my inner critic Negative Nelly, and I highly encourage, this is a tip here, everyone, name your inner critic. Draw a picture of her. List out the top 10 big fat lies that she beats you up with. It sounds a little silly to do something like this, but I can tell you from my own experience and from coaching thousands of people all over the world into doing an exercise like this, that it can be life-changing to understand that that voice inside of you that's beating you down is not your voice. It really is the voice of your inner critic, and she or he is a big fat liar feeding you big fat lies.
Right.
And so for me, when I gave birth to my daughter, I felt like my Negative Nelly, my inner critic, my inner mean girl came out in full force. She was telling me I was a terrible mom. She was telling me that I was doing it all wrong. She was really driving me crazy, and I saw that I had a decision to make. There was a fork in the road, and I can either choose to be a mom that was going to be worried and anxious and terrified all the time because of the great love that I felt for this little girl, or I needed to somehow figure out a way to take the other road, the road of being a mindful mom, the road of being a mom who is modeling all the things that I wanted my daughter to learn. And so, of course, I chose that road, and the way that I got there was by doing all of these exercises that I teach in my book and by really tuning into my inner wisdom and forming that nurturing and compassionate and loving relationship with myself.
Mm. I think the first time I worked, the first time I worked with a real coach was in 2002 after my father died. Mm. And she had me read a book called Your Inner Gremlin or something like that.
It's an amazing book.
It is a very good book.
Yeah, Taming Your Gremlin, A Surprisingly Simple Method for Getting Out of Your Own Way by Rick Carson. It's right here on my bookshelf.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I had to name my gremlin, and mine was Gollum. If anybody's interested, I just could see him like wringing his hands on my shoulder.
Yes.
So I want to start with something that is about, I don't know, a third of the way through the book. But I want to start with this because today's show is kind of focused around this too with my second guest. But I hear so many people say they feel overwhelmed. This was not something that was ever in my vocabulary until the last few years. And I think I just heard so many people saying it, you kind of pick it up. You say, we're not overwhelmed at all, probably. We're most likely underwhelmed. So let's talk about that a little, Amy.
Oh, yes. I love Big Fat Lie number 21. It is it can be a little bit of a shocker to people. And believe me, being a busy working mom myself, I really understand how we get into the state of overwhelm. But as you said, I really view it as being underwhelmed. And what I mean by that is that we've lost connection, a deep connection to why we're doing what we're doing. And when we plug back into the meaning behind why we're doing what we're doing, then we start to feel this sense of, okay, I might have a lot on my plate. My plate is really full, and I'm on track. I'm doing what I love. I'm in tune with my inner wisdom, and I'm doing things from an inspired action place. And so the tool that I give for this big fat lie is for you to go through, you know, make the list, the master mama load list of all of the things that you are feeling overwhelmed by, and then go through one by one and use the choose, lose, or delegate system. And the choose, lose, or delegate system means if you choose it, it means you remember, yes, I am on track. This is why I'm doing what I'm doing. And I will no longer feel victimized by this task. I will no longer feel victimized by going down this path. So you really choose it from a place of empowerment. And then the next category is the lose, which are the things that you say, you know what, I don't know why I'm doing this. It might be one of those things that is having you stay busy to keep busy to keep busy to keep busy, and not really be plugging into your higher calling, your highest purpose in life. So those are the things that you lose. And then, of course, there's the things that you delegate. And I always get some resistance from people around the delegation because they say, Amy, I can't hire a personal assistant. Who's going to do this? This needs to get done. I understand why it needs to get done. I get the big why. I don't want to do it, but, you know, it's still on my list and it has to get done. And I always encourage people, get creative with the delegation. It doesn't necessarily have to mean that you hire someone to do it. There are trades out there. There are people out there that will do things for trades. I remember I have one client who hated doing laundry, loved grocery shopping, but hated doing laundry. And so what she did is she had a friend who loved doing laundry. Now, I personally do not like doing laundry, but I have to tell you.
I know, I pulled a face when you said that.
You know, I do not like doing laundry at all, but I do have friends who love doing laundry. They feel like it's a moving meditation for them. It gives them this amazing satisfaction to have the smell of freshly laundered clothes and folding them and all that. They just love it. I had a roommate once that was like this, and I was just like baffled by it. But there are people who love doing that. And so my client ended up discovering that one of her friends was like that, and they swapped. She did the grocery shopping for the other woman's household and for her own household. She didn't mind that at all. And then the other one, she would bring over her laundry, and the other one would do her laundry while she did the grocery shopping for the two of them. So I'm telling you, there's really creative ways for you to delegate things in your life. So try it. If you're feeling that sense of overwhelm, if you're really underwhelmed, honey, and try the choose, lose, or delegate system.
Makes sense. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll continue talking with Amy Ehlers. Her new book is called Big Fat Lies Women Tell Themselves. Please do stay with us. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair.
Parkinson's disease affects as many as 1 million people in the United States. At the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, it's our mission to beat this disease. To learn about the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, or if you want to help support our work, visit our website, pdf.org, or call us at 800-457-6676. In the Northwest, contact the Northwest Parkinson's Foundation at nwpf.org.
Hi, this is Julie Forbes. Join me on Wednesday afternoons from 2 to 3 p.m. for the Dog Talk Show, an evolved perspective on life with dogs. Listen to discussions on dog-related topics and call in to voice your opinion or ask my opinion about your dog. We will talk about everything from dog behavior to pet food to dog training programs in prisons. The Dog Talk Show, an evolved perspective on life with dogs. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. Tune in Wednesdays from 2 to 3 p.m. on Alternative Talk 1150.
Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair discusses issues that are important to you, like good health and well-being, finding a new job and building your business, overcoming life's big challenges and making sense out of chaos, and living with passion and joy. Join us Mondays at noon Pacific for Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. See conversationslive.net for show schedule and guest information.
If you want to reach a large audience of like-minded people, people with integrity, people who strive to live well and live strong, let Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair shine a spotlight on your message. Tell us about your business, product, service, or event, and we'll help you craft your message and promote your good work. Email Vicky at conversationslive.net or call 425-269-4772. That's 425-269-4772. Thanks for listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. Follow me on Twitter at Vicky St. Clair.
Time for something different. Time for Alternative Talk 1150. Mama told me the girls are hollow.
And welcome back, everyone. We're talking right now with Amy Ahlers, and her new book is called Big Fat Lies Women Tell Themselves. But as we said at the top of the hour, these are probably the exact same lies that guys tell themselves, too. So we're not excluding anyone here. I wanted to talk, Amy, in this segment about, I am not enough, or I think I did a very, very informal survey myself last week in several different areas. And that was the one thing that popped up number one on every single one. I am not enough, or I'm not good enough. So can we talk a little bit about that? And why, when women today have so many opportunities and everything, why are we feeling that way?
Well, you know, it's interesting. This is big fat lie number one in my book because I, like you, Vicky, have really found that that is kind of at the core of all of the big fat lies, is that feeling of just not being enough, not being good enough. And when you look at it historically and when you look at the way that we are being fed through the advertising industry, the subliminal message of basically every advertisement out there is you are not enough. Mm-hmm. Think about it. If you're looking at it, whether it's, you know, a cream to make your thighs look better or a new car to make your image better, whatever it is, there's this undercurrent of the I'm not enough big fat lie. And so when we've been fed this, especially towards women, ladies, I mean, this is the core of all of the advertisements out there. And when you look at how, you know, we're fed that with human-like creatures, as I like to say, that have been photoshopped and airbrushed to death, we continually compare ourselves and just have that feeling that we're not good enough and that we're not enough. And so I'm really taking a stand for us to make a declaration that we are enough. And by saying, you know, this is a big fat lie, and when that inner critic comes up and says, well, who do you think you are? You're not enough. What makes you so special? You can really respond with, actually, I am enough. And just the sheer act of recognizing it as a big fat lie can be really life-changing for people.
Yeah. Now, you have affirmations in the book. You talk about the truth, which is, you know, dispelling the big fat lie. You give a challenge to each of these big fat lies.
Yeah.
And an affirmation for big fat lies. Tell us how you do your affirmations.
Well, for me, I actually have done affirmations in a number of different ways. My husband, back in 2000 when we met, says that one of the reasons he fell in love with me was because he got in my car and I had sticky notes on the dashboard of my car with affirmations like, you are beautiful and you are enough and expect nothing, allow everything. I had all of these affirmations, and he just was like, who is this woman? She's taken her power back from her inner critic. And so, you know, I've done everything from sticky notes on the dashboard or in the bathroom mirror to saying them out loud while looking at myself in the mirror to actually have created audio tracks. If people are interested, I have a really great meditation to help them raise their inner superstar feeling in their life. They can download that at readytogetinspired.com with my free inner superstar kit. That's at readytogetinspired.com. So there's so many different ways that we can do affirmations. We can, you know, I always recommend repetition. Science has shown us that, you know, we can change and create new neural pathways in our brain if we do anything for 28 to 30 days. That's when those neural pathways start getting built in our brain. So I recommend repeating out those affirmations out loud if possible, in the mirror if you want to be extra brave, and just putting them around your house. They'll do nothing but help you, I can reassure you.
Mm. Yeah. Well, another thing that kind of, it follows up very closely to that, we're often told, you know, fake it till we make it, act as if until you make it. The thing is that nobody ever tells us, okay, you've made it.
Yeah.
So many people go through life feeling, I'm a total fraud.
Yes.
How do they actually deal with that? How do they, you know, recognize, hey, I'm at a point where I have made it?
Right. Right. Well, I think that one of the things, I hear this lie so often when we are going to a bigger game in our life, when we're kind of graduating into the next level in our life. And I know for me personally, I'll be completely transparent, that big fat lie as I was releasing my book totally came up for me. I mean, that's the thing about doing this kind of work. It's not that our inner critics ever completely go away. It's not that we never believe a big fat lie again. It's about having the tools and knowing how to deal with the big fat lie and with the inner critic when they crop up in our life. So if you're feeling that imposter lie, the first thing is look at what is the new growth opportunity at hand. Did you just get a new promotion? Did you just get a new house? Did you just become a parent? These are the opportunities. When these things are coming up, that's when our inner critics are going to get the loudest. And then really looking at how did you create this new opportunity or thing for yourself? Start taking ownership about how fabulous you are, about how you really created this for yourself, about how you manifested this, so that you can start really declaring, like, I did earn this. I am not a fraud. I am here. I'm ready to take on and take ownership for how amazing this is. And then I recommend, you know, listing out the top three reasons you deserve it. Why do you deserve the new job? Why did I deserve to get a book published? You know, why did you deserve the new house? Really looking at your worth here and how much you deserve it. And then looking and going always, as always I like to do, go into your inner wisdom and look at what's the truth about this opportunity. And I always like to say, you know, when you're unraveling the imposter or fraud story, for you to get that if you just got invited to a new leadership group for women, congratulations, you must be a new leader in the world. But, you know, we magnetize these things to ourselves. So really taking ownership and getting why you deserve it.
I think that is so key, acknowledging that why we deserve it and recognizing we do deserve it. Big fat lie number 9, I have seen this so often and I felt it myself, and that is I don't belong.
Mm.
And you say that can also show up as I don't fit in, I'm different, I'm special. Let's talk about that one a little.
Yeah, well, you know, it's an interesting one because I've seen it so often with clients that if you have the I don't belong thing going on, there's an interesting dance that is probably going on. There's this way in which we can celebrate our uniqueness and how special we are, which is so important. And then there's this point at which there's this edge of that where you can start feeling really isolated and like you don't belong. So I really recommend looking at how you're celebrating your uniqueness and then looking at the connection of seeing yourself as different and special and seeing yourself as not belonging. And looking at where is the edge of that for you? What is the relationship between that for you? And then looking at how do you isolate yourself? How do you contribute to your sense of not belonging? And really asking you to take responsibility for the ways you withdraw, the way you hide, the way you pull away. And then looking at that line for where's the line between celebrating your fabulousness and uniqueness and feeling isolated and different and alone. And then, of course, looking at how do you fit in? Where do you feel that sense of tribe and community? And then collecting evidence for how you do belong. So important, because when our inner critics are left to their own devices, they collect evidence to support their big fat lies.
Right.
And so you can absolutely turn that on its head and use your reticular activation system in your brain to start collecting evidence for how you do belong. So try that on. Anybody that's believing that, like, collect evidence today. You're hearing it right now. Have a breakthrough right now and start collecting evidence for how you do belong and shift your focus, and you will notice all the areas that you do belong in.
Right. And my second guest is going to talk about that too. It's called confirmation bias. There's a Yeah. Now, you mentioned earlier, and I think it's worth repeating before we go today, that you say never, ever can we say that we're over the negative software running through our heads. And I do think that's worth repeating, because we think, okay, we've read this book, or we've worked on this, or I understand, you know, scripts from childhood, or I understand, you know, I have this inner critic. But it is constant work to keep it at bay, I think.
Absolutely. I mean, I personally have been doing this work for over 11 years now. And any time, especially if I'm stretching and I'm growing outside of a comfort zone, outside of, you know, the level where I've been, either in my relationships or my career or my finances, my inner critics are going to come up. And so I'm in this with everybody. I always am transparent. You'll see a lot of stories in the book about my own personal experiences as well. And it is about just having the tools to work with your inner critic versus thinking that someday you'll be able to check the box and say, I'm over this. Not likely, not going to happen.
Right, right. So we're at the end of our segment right now, Amy. Final thoughts you'd like to leave our listeners with? If nothing else, what do you want them to take away from this conversation today?
Oh, beautiful. Well, I really want them to know that, you know, you are not alone. Any of the things, areas where you are being hard on yourself, whether it's around money or how your body looks or how your face looks or about your authenticity or love and relationships, any of those areas, you are not alone. And there are tools to help you really tune into the truth about how fabulous you are. And I'd be so honored to have you join me on this journey by ordering a copy of my book or grabbing my free Inner Superstar Kit. Whatever works for you, I'd just be honored to have you in my community.
And your website is, please?
The book-specific website is bigfatliesplural book.com, bigfatliesbook.com. And I am gifting everybody who orders a copy of the book 7 bonus gifts when they order before Wednesday, and that's worth over $1,500. So spend, you know, under $15, and you'll get over $1,500 worth of tools and value. And I'd just be so honored to have you inside my tribe here.
Well, I'm sure people will be honored to check you out, too. And there are some great tools up there that can be downloaded. So I really appreciate you being with us today, Amy.
Thank you so much for having me, Vicki. Just an absolute delight.
And Amy's book, again, is called Big Fat Lies Women Tell Themselves. Ditch Your Inner Critic and Wake Up Your Inner Superstar. And Amy, you spell Amy's name AmyahLers. Please do stay with us. When we come back, we'll be talking with Harvard Business Review columnist Peter Bregman. And his new book is called 18 Minutes, Find Your Focus, Master Distraction, and Get the Right Things Done. Please stay with us.
So fabulous. You're so fantastic.
Do something different with your spare time. Give baby animals and paws a fresh start. With the assistance of caring volunteers, Paws helps hundreds of orphaned and sick kittens and puppies each year. Join us and save lives. Become a Paws foster care volunteer. For more information, visit paws.org or 425-787-2500. Paws.org or 425-787-2500.
Do you have legal questions? Need to know where to turn?
Hi, this is Rick Gregrick, your host of Northwest Legal Compass.
Northwest Legal Compass will address your questions on a variety of legal topics, including estate planning, asset protection, real estate and business planning, and more. The legal and accounting staff of Gregrick & Associates are dedicated to providing you with superior legal and tax services. Their integrated counsel is geared to the achievement of your goals.
Visit us on the web at rjglegal.com.
Be sure and tune in every Friday at noon here on Alternative Talk 1150.
Hi, I'm Andrea Kay, America's leading career expert. I know it's going to be a great conversation when Vicki St. Clair asked me to offer my career advice on her show. Vicki asks thoughtful questions, she's thorough, she works hard to bring you great guests who walk their talk with information and solutions that can lift your career and better your life so that you'll live well, live strong. My advice? Tune into our conversations and all the interviews on Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair for thought-provoking insight and tips on the things that really matter in your life. And visit AndreaKay.com, that's Andrea, K-A-Y.com, for information about my books and loads of free practical advice and inspiration for your career.
Next week on Conversations Live, Vicki talks with Russian author and former CNBC producer Marina Sonkina about her latest work based on the resistance of the human spirit in the face of time, disloyalty, and oblivion. Please tune in every Monday at noon Pacific time for Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. And follow Vicki on Twitter at Vicki St. Clair to find out who's coming next.
If you want to reach a large audience of like-minded people, people with integrity, people who strive to live well and live strong, let Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair shine a spotlight on your message. Tell us about your business, product, service, or event, and we'll help you craft your message and promote your good work. Email Vicki at conversationslive.net or call 425-269-4772. That's 425-269-4772. Thanks for listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Listen to podcasts of past shows at conversationslive.net.
Get a grip on life with Alternative Talk 1150.
And welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. And today we just spoke with Amy Ehlers, Big Fat Lies, Women Tell Themselves, but I know men tell themselves lies too. Poor Eric, I'm picking on Eric because he's the only male in the studio here and we have a couple of minutes till our next guest. And I want to just ask Eric, what big fat lies do you tell yourself?
You know, that is a difficult question to answer, I think, because, you know, if I'm telling them to myself, I don't necessarily think that they're lying.
Well, no,
really.
That's the whole point.
What's
we think
the litmus test to whether something's a lie or not, you know?
Well, we think they're true. That's what
right.
we're telling. But, you know, where? Well, do you, for example, like the number one in my poll and in Amy's book was that I'm not enough or I'm not good enough.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it can be rephrased, you know, phrased differently.
Yeah.
Does that ever pop up? You know, if you're taking on a new task or a new role or.
Of course. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I suffer from lack of confidence all the time. If everyone does that and that's normal, is that okay? I don't know. I guess I do tell myself that, but...
Well, it's not okay if it makes you hide away.
True enough.
And I don't think it makes you hide away, does it?
Usually not.
No. And another one, I mean, I've heard this a lot with people, and I actually remember this like years ago, many years ago. I was a brand new manager in America. Mm-hmm. I had been here a year. I got this new job with this new financial institution, and... I wasn't even 30, and I was in my 20s. And
so that was like just a few years ago.
Just a couple of years back,
yeah.
Right? So I was in my 20s. I had just got this brand new job, and I was sitting at this conference table with a bunch of very much older people. I mean, at least 15 years older than me.
Mm-hmm.
And that was fine because it was in a work environment. But then we all went out to lunch and I just sat there thinking, racking my brain. And of course, I was a lot shyer back then, I think, and a lot less life experience. And I was racking my brain. What do I talk to these people about? I have nothing in common with them other than work.
Right.
And I remember for weeks, I had that sense of just not belonging. And it's not a good feeling.
True enough.
And you have to find that common denominator somewhere along the way. But have you ever felt that way?
Of course, yeah.
Because that was another very common one when I did my poll.
Well, that you have nothing in common
or that you just don't belong in a situation.
Yeah, I feel that way all the time.
Oh, you do?
definitely. Yeah, especially, you know, going out, trying to meet new people. When I was single, especially, this was I felt that way a lot, you know. And that one's really hard to get over. 'Cause sometimes you do find out that, boy, you have nothing in common with these people, or, boy, they don't really want to talk to you. And so that reinforces that. Probably 90% of the time you find, like, oh, okay, you know, just saying hello or just talking was, you know, just fine. You know, there was no problem there. It was all good. But occasionally you do get that reinforced, like, yeah, I do feel weird in this situation. We're not really communicating very well here, are we?
Yeah.
And so I think that kind of reinforces those things. So whether, you know, that's a lie or not, I don't know. But sometimes you got to feel that stuff and do it anyway, I guess, if you want to.
Right, and there are always going to be people you just really don't connect with because,
right.
You know, it takes two to tango. It definitely takes two to tango.
Yeah.
But I always remember when I was a child and I don't know, I was very confident and went through a very shy phase, and painfully shy. And I remember my grandfather saying to me, you know, you need to stand up tall, because I'd always try and hide because I was taller than everyone
right.
else. And you need to stand up tall and you need to get the other person talking about themselves because everybody loves to talk about themselves and hear their own name. And that often can stand you in good stead then, in a sincere way. Well, we have coming up next, thank you for sharing with us, and I hate putting you on the spot like that, but you were the only guy in here, Eric.
Oh, yeah, no, it's always my pleasure. I do feel a little bit embarrassed because that's the sort of thing that your inner monologue, your inner critic, if you show that to the world, it is a little bit, I don't know, it is a little embarrassing, isn't it?
Well, it's because you're opening
up. Think of the
up.
Ways that we talk about ourselves.
Yeah, but, you know, what I've learned, and I have a really harsh inner critic. I'm harder on myself mm-hmm. than anybody else could ever be. And, you know, some people have said to me, would you work for your inner critic? You know, and I'm like, no.
Oh, heck no.
But I let let that person run wild in my head sometimes.
That's a really good point.
Yeah, but I totally forgot what I was going to say now, but it doesn't really matter.
You were going to say we were going to take a break and then coming up.
Yeah, but what I was going to make a point about the fact that what I've learned is that everybody, unless they're totally clueless and in denial and never think about anything, everybody has some kind of voice going on in their head.
Yeah, and I think that was very valid what she said at the end, that you can't ever really get over it. You can't ever really silence that inner critic completely. But you can kind of work around it, I think.
Yeah, learn to flick it off.
Yeah.
All right. Well, coming up next, we're going to be talking with Harvard Business Reviewer, columnist Peter Bregman. And he has written a really good book, which follows up on this topic about 18. It's called 18 Minutes. It's about finding your focus, mastering distraction, and getting the right things done. And we're going to take a very quick break, get him on the phone, and we'll be right back. If you want to reach a large audience of like-minded people, people with integrity, people who strive to live well and live strong, let Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair shine a spotlight on your message. Tell us about your business, product, service, or event, and we'll help you craft your message and promote your good work. Email Vicky at conversationslive.net or call 425-269-4772. That's 425-269-4772. 4772.
This is Kim Ariano. Join me on Wednesdays at 4 o'clock for Walk the Talk with Kim. We will focus on nonprofit and community organizations to strengthen our community through knowledge, leadership, and collaboration. We will challenge our listeners to walk the talk and take action to support the health and growth of our nonprofit community. You will be inspired with stories of triumph and lessons in leadership. So put on your walking shoes, grab your brain, and let's walk the talk with Kim. Every Wednesday at 4 p.m. right here on Alternative Talk 1150.
Thanks for listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. Join us live every Monday at noon on Alternative Talk 1150 or stream live from conversationslive.net.
Get your smile on with Alternative Talk 1150.
And welcome back, everyone. Well, my next guest is a strategic advisor, Peter Bregman. He's advised CEOs and senior leadership teams in many of the world's premier organizations, including American Express, Deutsche Bank, Nike, UNICEF, and many others. He's written a couple of books, Point B, A Short Guide to Leading a Big Change, and the new one that I told you about earlier, 18 Minutes, Find Your Focus, Master Distraction, and Get the Right Things Done. Peter's a regular contributor to Harvard Business Review, Fast Company, Forbes, National Public Radio, Psychology Today, and CNN. And I'm very pleased to welcome him right now. Peter Bregman, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me on the show.
Well, very welcome, and I loved your book.
Thanks.
It worked for me and made me stop and think, okay, I need to just slow down a little. But before we get into that, I just want to ask you a couple of questions about your background, because you began your career teaching leadership on wilderness and mountaineering expeditions. You're an outdoor guy. How did you go from that to doing the kind of consulting you're doing right now?
I loved that. It was so fun. And it was sort of 30-day expeditions. But I realized at a certain point, you know, it was a little bit of an 18-minute moment for me before I knew anything about 18 minutes, which was, you know, I love doing this, but doesn't really, it's not going to lead to where I want to go in terms of, you know, having a family and having a stable life, and I can't have children and be away 30 days at a time, was my feeling. Some people can do it, but if that wasn't how I wanted to have a family. And so I was actually very conscious of this moment. It's interesting. It was in my early 20s, and I was very conscious of thinking, I could do this for as long as I can, but then I'm going to have to completely shift what I do in a way that probably won't preserve as much of the things that I love as I want. So I'm going to start to move myself over earlier than I necessarily need to, but in order to position myself. And I started my own company teaching the same kinds of things that I was teaching in the outdoors, but to organizations and corporations.
Yeah, because there's a huge correlation there, isn't there?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I still had a lot to learn about how organizations operate, but I was doing it from a basis of understanding at least leadership in a certain context that I could then transfer over.
Mm-hmm. And I love the fact you start out your book saying, you know, I started my business in 1998 out of a one-bedroom fifth floor with a dream to build a multi-million-dollar global management consulting firm. Tell us what what challenges you faced during that period, that transition period, Peter.
It wasn't just a fifth floor. It was a fifth floor walk-up. So I was exhausted a lot. But one of the challenges was actually getting up all of those flights of stairs all the time. Almost more a psychological challenge than anything. My expenses were pretty low. I mean, I started this company not with a huge amount of overhead. I was really, you know, my biggest expense was a $5,000 laptop, which at that day and age bought a 10.4-inch black and white screen. But that was my biggest expense. And otherwise, it was just scrappy. I mean, it was sort of trying to get business and figuring out, who I could talk to and who might buy the work that I do. And I think the most challenging part was psychological. The most challenging part was saying, you know, for 6 months, I really didn't have any clients. And that's a long period of time. I didn't have very many expenses because I hadn't hired anybody at that point. And
right, right.
My girlfriend, now wife, was working for free.
So Good deal there.
It paid off now. We're married for, you know, 11 years. But it was just psychologically keeping at it, not knowing whether it would succeed or not.
I want to start off with a couple of things that we kind of touched on in the first one, and I want to get your perspective on this. Overwhelm we talked about, and my first guest said, you know, oftentimes you're actually underwhelmed by, you know, the things that you're doing. You say if you overwhelm, you know, so we're multitasking all of the time, and you say we need to stop doing that. Just because we can do it doesn't make it right.
Right.
Tell us a little bit about what you think about overwhelm and multitasking.
You know, first of all, here's the interesting thing about multitasking. It's not even just because we can do it. It's just because we think we can do it. Because if you look at the science of it, we're not actually multitasking. What we're doing is switch tasking. We're very, very quickly moving from one task to another, but losing a lot of time in between the two tasks. I was doing math facts with my 9-year-old daughter, and the first couple of math facts she was having a hard time with, and she paused for a second. She's, you know, if you read 18 minutes, it's Isabel. She's all over the book. And if you, you know, she paused for a second, and she said, "Hold on, Dad, I need to get my math head on." Right? And
right,
And she got her math head on after a few questions, and then she was able to jump in and just do it.
Right.
So we need to get our email head on, or our phone call head on, or our John head on, or our, you know, Jane conversation head on. And every time we switch those things, we lose time, we lose momentum, we lose focus. So we're not actually multitasking. That's the first thing. The second is, I think that's a very insightful remark that the guest made, that we're often underwhelmed, but I think that's part of overwhelm. Meaning, I think we're part of why we're overwhelmed is because we're working on so much stuff that's underwhelming. And you know, I could be incredibly busy and not feel overwhelmed if I'm engaged, if I'm focused, if I'm fulfilled, if I'm getting stuff out. But we're so busy and not fulfilled. We're so busy and unaccomplished. We're so busy and not getting to closure on anything that we're working on. That is overwhelming.
That's very true. And, you know, and then it just starts piling up and you get into the more of the overwhelm situation there. So let's talk about what you mean by 18 minutes, because I'm going to tell our listeners, I've been doing this since I read Peter's book, which was probably 3 weeks ago, and it's made a huge impact on me. You'll be glad to hear that, right, Peter?
I'm so happy to hear that.
So let's talk about that 18 minutes and what it means.
Sure. So 18 minutes came from actually trial and error of figuring out what I need to do in order to be focused and get the right stuff done that I wanted to get done. So let me take one step back before the 18 minutes and talk about the idea behind the kind of to-do list that I keep. Because I keep a six-box to-do list. And that to-do list is based on some stuff that I talk about in 18 minutes about the importance of really knowing what you're focusing on for the year. So for me, I choose to focus on 5 things in my year. You know, some of my things are nurture myself and my family is one. Speak and write about my ideas is another. And I have these 5 areas of focus. And I have my to-do list in 6 boxes, and one of each of those five gets a single box. And the 6th box is called the other 5%. And that's anything that doesn't fit in my top 5 that goes into the other 5%. When I first started keeping a to-do list like this, separating it out by my areas of focus for the year, everything was empty except for the other 5%. Everything I was spending all my time on were things that were not ultimately most important to me. Over time, that quickly changed because I would look at this to-do list and I was confronted by the fact that I wasn't doing the things that are most important to me. So in coming now to my, and by the way, there's a template for the 6-box to-do list that you can find on my website at peterbregman.com. You know, you could just draw it up yourself on a piece of paper, but I have a template you could download on peterbregman.com.
Right, right.
So for 18 minutes, the first 5 minutes, in the morning, I spend 5 minutes looking at this 6-box to-do list and then making a decision about what is most important for me to accomplish in the day. What will make this day the most successful day? And I decide that, and then I take things from my 6-box to-do list and I transfer them onto my calendar. There is a tremendous amount of evidence that points to the fact that if you decide when and where you're going to do something, you'll do it. And if you don't decide when and where you'll do it, then you probably won't do it. So it's very, very important about deciding when and where you're going to do something. And so it also, by the way, helps me from overscheduling, because I could have a to-do list that has 20 hours worth of activities, but I only have 9 hours in my workday. So this forces me to slot things into time frames and makes me much more realistic and therefore satisfied at the end of the day to do only the things that I can actually fit in.
Right.
So I spend those first 5 minutes doing that. Then I have my watch beep every hour. And on the hour, I take a deep breath and I ask myself 2 questions. Am I doing what's most important for me to be doing right now? And am I being who I most want to be right now? It's the 2 questions I ask myself. And it's amazing how it helps to keep me on track. It's so easy to get off track. And you know, several times during that hour, I might have had opportunities to get off my plan, to get off my, to sort of lose touch with who I am and what I'm trying to do. And, you know, I developed that second question, by the way, when I was yelling at someone on AT&T about my phone bill and the watch beep. And I thought, A, this is not the most effective thing I could be doing with my time right now, but B, I'm missing a question here because I'm certainly not being who I want to be. And that made me add that last question. And then the last 5 minutes of my day are my learning minutes, and I stop and I look and I say, well, worked and what didn't work and what do I want to do differently tomorrow, what do I want to do the same, and then touch base with anybody who I touched or who touched me. Maybe I have to ask them a question or share some feedback or just say thank you for something nice that they've done.
It makes such a difference, made such a difference to my week, to my days and my weeks. And it's so simple, such a simple philosophy to follow. I want to talk a little bit about confirmation bias, because we touched on that earlier. I said we'd be talking about this in this segment. You say how, you know, we frequently look for evidence to prove ourselves right. We mistake expectations for reality, the past for the present, desires for facts, and that's called confirmation bias. But it makes us feel better, but it makes us behave worse. So why is it important that we incorporate this into the 18 minutes philosophy?
Well, you know, we so much about managing our life and managing our time is about seeing life clearly and seeing the world and seeing ourselves clearly. So first of all, if I'm really trying to understand what I'm really strong in, what is my sweet spot, where should I be doing my work, or if I'm trying to communicate with someone, or, you know, managing our time isn't just about organizing work. It's the problem with actually most time management books is that they don't help us discriminate. What they basically do is say, I'm going to give you a process that will help make sure nothing falls through the cracks and you get everything done that you need to get done. Well, the truth is, you don't really want to get done everything that you need to get done. There's too much of it. You can't possibly get everything done. And it's a mistake to try to get everything done because then the wrong things fall through the cracks. So it's really important to make sure that the right things aren't falling through the cracks, that you're pushing them through the cracks, that you're making sure that you're not spending time on those wrong things. And that's very, very hard to do. So it's important to be really clear about what's working and what's not working. And we have a lot at stake at being right. And if we really have a lot at stake at being right, then it's going to be unlikely we're going to make effective changes in our lives. But if you really want to make changes in your life, then the first thing you have to do is stop being right and actually looking for where you're wrong, because that enables you to make the kinds of changes that will help you to feel better and be more fulfilled.
Yeah, makes sense. You talk about four elements. We only have a little bit of time left, unfortunately, but you talk about four elements, leveraging your strength, embracing your weaknesses, asserting your differences, pursuing your passion, and then under pursuing your passion, you talk about desire, persistence, and ease. I wanted to talk a little bit about asserting your differences, because when we look, you know, we have another year ahead of us, and we can start that right now. We don't have to wait till January 1. I think that's probably one of the really critical things to assert your differences. You say don't waste another year trying to blend in. Just share your philosophy on that, please, Peter.
I feel that so strongly. You know, this is what's amazing to me. People really spend a lot of time trying to fit in. And if you really think about it, all you're doing is expanding your pool of competition. You're just making yourself look like everybody else, which just makes you less special. And since we all know that we're all very special in whatever ways that we're very special, why not? And by the way, those ways in which we're different are probably not only the ways in which we're going to be most successful, but most ourselves. It's when we hide these parts of ourselves that we begin to lose recognition of ourselves. So I'm really so passionate about this that you know, and maybe in the end, really being yourself, you end up losing some friends. Maybe you end up losing some opportunities at work. But what you end up gaining is other opportunities that are really a perfect fit. So it's an amazing difference when you do that.
Yeah, and I just loved as well. I just want to slip this in real quick, but we have to go. But that you also decide what's your one big theme for the year. And in this article I read, yours was to slow down, and then everything basically based around that. Peter, you've got some great information up on the website. It's peterbregman.com. Final thought you'd like to leave our listeners with, real quick.
Just that, you know, the secret of this book is that everything that I'm trying to teach people about managing their time is so that when they are in that moment, whatever that moment they're in, they could be fully, fully present and fully there, and that life is so much richer when they can reach that point. So spend the time to kind of understand how to frame out your day, how to frame out your hours, and how to create boundaries so that when you're in that moment, you could be so fully there.
Thank you so much for being with us, Peter. Appreciate it.
It's my great pleasure. Thank you for having me on the show.
And the book, again, is called 18 Minutes. It really has some great information in here. I've been following it for the last 2 or 3 weeks, and it's made a tremendous difference in my week. PeterBregman.com is where you can find out more. B-R-E-G-M-A-N is Bregman. PeterBregman.com. And Peter has some great tools up there, too, so take a look. Thanks for being with us today. We'll be back next week. Until then, live well, live strong.